بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا عبد القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. In the last session we talked about Rab and the naming of Rab. Al-Alamin. What does it mean? Al-Alam. Al-Alamin is plural of Al-Alam. Alam means world. So, Al-Alamin means world. The first question here is, how many worlds do we have? So, we say Al-Alamin. How many worlds do we have? This is one question. And why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned Al-Alamin? Why he didn't mention Rabbul Alam? Why he didn't mention Rabbul Samawat wal Ard? Why he didn't mention Rabbul Dunya wal Akhirah? And he said Rabbul Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. It has been said in dictionary, Arabic dictionary, that Alam means the world. It can be general world, which includes everything. Human beings, plants, animals, and everything. This is one. And also, it can include only specific thing, like alamul insan. Human world, alam al-haywan, animal world, or kingdom of animal, alam al-nabatat, plant world. Only this specific place, and it can be more specific, as it can say, as it has been said, alam al-arab. Arab world, European world, or African world, it can be. So, which of them exactly means by these words? It's possible to be Alamin, whole the world. Alamul Arab, African world, alamul haywan, human world, animals world, plants world, stone or materials world. But according to other verses of the Holy Quran, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whenever use this term, alamin, he means by alamin only ants and jinn. Or only human, man. Like this verse. In Surah Al-Imran, verse 42. وَاصْطَفَيْنَاكَ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ وَاصْطَفَيْنَاكَ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addressed Maryam alayhi salam and says, وَاصْطَفَيْنَاكَ, you have been choose among the women of the Alameen. Alameen means woman, human and jinn. Among these two types, we choose you. Actually, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cannot choose Maryam from animal, because he's not one of them. For example, if you say, I choose you from this type, you should be one of them. After that, you will be chosen, isn't it? If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned that Allah chose and took Maryam from Alameen, Alameen should be those in which Maryam can be one of them. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose Maryam from Alameen. Alameen means human. Or in chapter Furqan, verse 1, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. We send the Prophet to be warner for the Alameen. What does mean Alameen? Alameen means human and jinn. Because the Prophet, as his prophet for human, is a prophet for the jinn also. Because he was prophet for them, and they should obey the prophet of Islam or previous prophets. However, Alameen here means human or human with jinn and jinn. But according to the Imam Ali alayhi salam, we have two types of alam. One alam is huge alam, big alam, which is the universe. The second alam is manifestation of the universe. The juice and result and fruit of the alam, which is man. Imam Ali alayhi salam addressed the man and said, أَتَزْعَمُ أَنَّكَ جِرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ. Do you think you are very small germ? وَفِيكَ انْطَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. Why the big universe, it has been done in you. وَفِيكَ انْطَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. Big the universe, big the big world, it has been put in you. So man is a manifestation and fruit and result of the alam. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever he created for the man. So man will be on the world and the universe, and the creations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be for the man. So man can be big alam also. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. Before I'm moving to Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim and Malik Yawm al-Din, there is something which we should write here. Sometime you say, respect Hassan. Why? You should justify it. Why should I respect Hassan? Because he's your teacher. So because he is your teacher, this is reason of respecting him. So if you want to convince him to respect Hassan, you should bring your reason, your proof, your evidence, your argument. Why should I respect Hassan? Because he was your teacher. So you should respect him. Sometimes you don't need bring the reason, because the reason exactly is behind of your sentence. Like this sentence, respect your father. Why? You don't need to bring any reason, because he's your father. Because you choose the term which the reason behind of that term. Respect your father. Even respect your teacher. Why should I respect my teacher? Because he's your teacher. Exactly, I told you, he's your teacher. Respect Sayyid. Why? Because he's a Sayyid. is the son of the prophet. But sometimes please respect this man. Why should I respect him? Because he is a son, he is a Sayyid. This is the reason. Okay? So, sometimes we will bring reason, sometimes we don't need to bring the reason, because exactly the reason is on the term which we use it. And we said, respect the Sayyid, respect your father, respect your teacher. But sometimes we bring both of them, because we want to emphasize on the issue. Please, respect your father, because he is your father. Because we want to emphasize on this issue. Respect your father, because he is your father. Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he used the term which the reason is behind of the term. But he follows the term by the reason also, because he wants to emphasize on it. First of all, he said, Alhamdulillah. Why Alhamdulillah? Why praise on Allah? Because he is Allah. Allah is the most perfected person, most perfected thing, most perfected one. So you should do your praise to him. He's a power, knowledge, so and so and so. He's the most perfected one. And all praise should go to perfected one, and is the most perfected one. So you don't need to bring any reason, because Allah means creator, sustainer, so and so and so. So you don't need to bring any other reason. But Allah wanted to emphasize on the issue, he brought some reason and argument for this sentence. Why Alhamdulillah? Because he's Rabbul Alam. Because he's your teacher. Because he's your creator. Because he's the manager of the world. You cannot live without this world. If you are a businessman, you do your business in this world. If you are a teacher, you teach in this world. If you are a driver, if you are alim, if you are so and so, Mawlana, whatever you are, whatever you do in this world. So, he is the manager and creator of the world. So, he wanted to bring the reason for why Alhamdulillah. Why Alhamdulillah? Because he is a Rabbul Alam. Okay, we finish. After that, we are coming to Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. We talk about Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman means with his mercy he creates you. He creates everything. So for creation, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala creates believer, unbeliever. Creates animal, plant, and everything. So the mercy of Rahman covers and includes everything. But Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahim for forgiveness, respecting, protecting in the day of judgment. So, Rahim, the mercy of Rahim includes only believers, because the believers are worthy for forgiveness. Okay. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the first verse, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, mention these two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. But here, he repeated. As we know, if I repeat my sentence two times, three times or more, after that you criticize me. Oh, don't repeat too much. In the book, if we repeat something two, three times, even two times, say, oh, what is this? Why you repeat it? So now, can we criticize Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Why he repeated Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? Exactly. He didn't repeat Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim which repeated here is exactly different from Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, which has been mentioned in Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The meaning of this Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is different from the meaning of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim in Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In the beginning, for the beginning, for the commencing, for the starting, you need mercy. Without mercy, without rahmah, without blessing, nothing can be come in the existence. But maybe some people think when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created us, finish everything. But for continuously or for continuing, we don't need any mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because of that, all the time we say, I go, I do, I will do, I sow, I will do, I will go to Hajj, I will pay, I will buy. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala here wanted to draw your attention to this point, that for your continuing, for going ahead, you need also mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Either you are believer or unbeliever. For everything you need the help, support, blessing, and mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's not the issue like the issue of Jews who say, Yadullahi maghlula. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the universe and his hand tied up. Nothing he will do. But here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted to emphasize the issue. Please, the situation between mason or engineer and the building exactly is different between the situation of the universe and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is Rabb. Yes, the engineer built this building. But now we don't need him. This building can continue, can be in existence without him. This microphone can be in existence without the engineer. But the issue of the universe, of the man, of the animal, is not like that. Or for continuing, for to be in existence, you need mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He said, Rabb. Rabb means manager, Lord, an organizer of the universe. But you should know, he's not organizer like organizer of the country, like organizer and manager of the stammer. No. He's organizer, manager, which without him, nobody can continue. Because of that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brought again, I will not use the term repeat, no. He brought Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Okay. Malik Yawm al-Din. It has been recited Malik and Malik. Malik Yawm al-Din or Malik Yawm al-Din. And it has been said by ulama to be recited Malik Yawm al-Din is better. Malik Yawm al-Din. Nor Malik Yawm al-Din. Okay. What is the meaning of Malik and what is the meaning of Malik? Malik is derived from Malik. Owner. Owner. Owner of things. Owner, we have three types of ownership. One is unreal ownership. As last session I explained about it. For instance, I am owner of my dress. But this ownership is not real ownership. Why? Because I can transfer it. Today I'm owner. Tomorrow I will sell it, so I'm not owner. This means it's not real ownership. You are owner of your house. But your ownership is not real ownership. because it can be transferred to somebody else. If it is reality of reality, you cannot transfer it to anybody else. This is one. The second type of ownership is real ownership, but it is limited ownership. Like, I am owner of my sight. I am owner of my imagination. I am owner of my parts. Exactly, I am owner of it. I will not sell my sight to anybody. I cannot transfer it. I cannot transfer my hat. I cannot transfer my brief. I cannot transfer my speaking, this ability of speaking. I cannot transfer to anybody. But this ownership is limited. For how long? I don't know. Maybe 60 years. Maybe 70. Maybe 80 years. Maybe 100 years. That is not more than that. Because the Prophet of Islam said, أكثر أعمار أمتي بين 60 و 70. The major age of my ummah between 60 and 70. Okay. I am owner and real ownership because I cannot transfer it and I will not transfer it to anybody else. That is limited. The third type of ownership, which is real ownership and unlimited ownership, which only is for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah is owner of everything. Why? Because he is the cause of everything, and everything is effect of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And his ownership is not limited to time, to space, from beginning up to end. There is no end. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is owner. So he's a Malik. But here, usually Malik, the owned one, should be something. Isn't it? The owner should be something. So we'll come back to this something, owner. Allah is owner. Owner of what? I am owner of my house. I am owner of my heart. I am owner of my hand. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is owner of what? But if we say Malik yawmiddin, Malik is derived from Mulk. Mulk means king. King. King means Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has authority over everything. He has authority. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's a governor of something. So now we are not going to speak about the Muzafan Elay. Okay. Sometimes you are owner of something, but you don't have any authority of it. Like, you bought a land. Land belongs to you, but you don't have any authority on it up to next, how many years, Mr. Safar? Maybe 15 years, yes? Your land. So, you are owner of the land, but you don't have any authority on it. I am owner of something, but now at the moment I don't have any authority on it. This is sometimes you are not owner, you are not Malik, but you have authority on it. Like al-mutawalli of the waqf. Do you know waqf? For instance, here is a waqf for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Waqf lillah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is somebody is responsible of this waqf. He has authority to do whatever he wants to do in it. But is he Malik? Is he owner of this thing? No. But he doesn't have ownership of this building, of this mosque, but he has authority over it. This is true. Sometimes you are Malik. You are owner And at the same time, you have authority over it. But majority of the times, we are Malik and owner, but we don't have all types of authority over our owned one. I am owner of my money, but can I burn it? No. Do I burn it? No. I am owner of my hand, and I have authority over it. Can I break it? Can I cut it? No. I cannot do, and I will not do, because I cannot tolerate it. I have ownership of my house, but can I bring some fire and burn my house? No. Only the one who is owner and has authority over owned one is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Malike. Malik. He's a king. He has authority over everything. So, now we understood what is the difference between Malik and Malik. When you say Malik, Allah is Malik, means Allah is owner. When you say Allah is Malik, means Allah has authority over everything. قل, in the day of judgment, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will ask the arrogant person, arrogant people, لمن الملك, لمن الملك, to whom the authority today, kingdom, لله الواحد القهار, is for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. لله ملك السماوات والأرض. See, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala here used term ملك. لله ملك السماوات والأرض. لله kingdom of the heavens and earth. لله Allah has authority over the heavens and king. However, here we mention the honored one is يوم مالك يوم الدين. Isn't it? مالك يوم الدين. What does mean يوم الدين? Yawm al-Din, it has been said that the day of judgment. Yawm is time. Is zaman, time of the day of judgment. So nobody can be owner of the day, of the time. And usually we don't say, I am owner of the time. Do we use this sentence? But I can say, this king is Malik and king of this period, of this time. Do we use this one or not? So, since here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said Yawm al-Din, Yawm al-Din relates to Malik, king of the day of judgment. Yes, he's the owner of the day of judgment also. But usually, by the time we use al-mulk, king, we say Pharaoh was the king of that period, or Shah was the king of this period, isn't it? So when we mention the time and day of judgment, so the relate here, the time relates to the mulk and kingdom. Because of that, it has been mentioned that it's better to say Malik Yawm al-Din. However, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Malik of the Day of Judgment and is Malik, King of the Day of Judgment. All of them. And without any condition, without any limitation. We reach to this place. After that, we change our explanation. As you know, we use second person. We say, Hassan is good man, He's very generous. He's very kind. So we describe him as seems that you see him in your present. At this time, we started to describe Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Said, I will start my speech, my saying, my action, my eating, my so and so by the name of Allah. Who is Allah? Allah is Rahman. Allah is Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Now we are talking about the second person. Because we use Allah as a name. Name usually second person, isn't it? Alhamdulillah. All praise due to Allah. Who is Allah? He's Rabb. Rabb of what? Rabb of Alameen. Has he any other attribute? Yes. He's a Rahman. Oh! He's a Rahman? Has he any other attribute? Yes. In the day of judgment, he will forgive you. Oh! It's very good. Has he any other attribute? Yes. He's a Rahman also. He's a Rahim. Has he any other attribute? Yes. He's a Malik. And owner. And king of the day of judgment. By this description of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you see Allah in your presence, so you change your explanation and you address Allah. Iyyaka na'bud. Changing from absent to the present. Changing from moving from absent second person to third person to second person. So because of that, you see him, so you address him and you say, Iyyaka na'bud. Iyyaka na'bud. Like first dance, only as an example. I will describe a kind man to you. Mr. Hassan or Hussein, somebody. He's very kind. He's very generous. He likes people. He's very rich. He can do whatever he wants to do. Oh, he has billion pounds. Without asking him, he gives. If you do bad, he forgives. So, if I describe him, and I speak, automatically, suddenly, you say, oh, please ask him to help me. Oh, you say, please help me. Isn't it? Now, we describe Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to this level, so suddenly, automatically, you say, oh, iyyaka na'bud. I worship you. This is the point and the reason and wisdom of changing from third person to the second person. Because now we address Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Up to here, only we were speaking about somebody in absence. Allah, Rab, Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. After that, we change our speaking. And we say, Iyyaka na'bud. Okay, now we are coming to Iyyaka na'bud. As you know, according to the Arabic grammar, here we should say na'buduka, because na'buduka is verb, and after verb should be subject. So we should na'buduka. We worship you, but we brought you before verb. This means only you, only you. If I say, for instance, I beat Hassan. Maybe I beat somebody else. But if according to Arabic grammar, if I say Hassan, I beat him. This means only I beat Hassan. Only. Here I say, Iyyaka na'bud. Only I worship you. And only here, according to Arabic grammar, it has been said, nasta'inuka. Only I ask help from you. But here we say, iyyaka nasta'in. However, here the term na'buduka is derived from abd. What does mean abd? An ibadah. Abd is servant or slaver. From man or whatever is the abd. At that time, there were some people who were slaver, who were servants. And we have in the Holy Quran in chapter Maryam, verse 93, إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آت الرحمن عبدا. Whatever in the heaven and heavens and the earth comes to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, why they are servant or slaver of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Okay, now we say we are your servant, we are your slaver. What is the position of the slaver and servant? Slavery means to put yourself in the position of servant, of slaver. In front of your Lord, in front of your master. But in our life, the master and Lord honor his servant, but honor something of him. He honors his action. If he wants to work, he has work for his master, isn't it? But he cannot honor all types and all aspects of his slaver, because the slaver has something is under his control, is not under his control, is not voluntary, like his blood, like his breathing, like compulsion, his heart. Is not under the control of the servant or slaver. So the owner doesn't have control or ownership over these types of his slaver. But Allah all in his length, his wage, he doesn't have control or ownership over it. Or his face, his beauty, he doesn't have any ownership over his beauty, the beauty of his slaver. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is a master of all his slaver without any condition, without any limitation. So concerning the Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his mastership over the his slaver is absolute. From his himself is there is no limit, there is no condition. Contrary to the other slaver and servant. Because of that, the one who has a mastership over everybody and over everything is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And because of that, we say, only we are slaver of you. We are worshipping you. Worship means, what does mean worship? Some people translated worshipping as a humbleness, to be humble. But exactly, humbleness and to be humble is not the meaning of worship. Because this is out of al-ibadah and worshipping. But worshiping means you make yourself as a slaver, as a servant of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Okay. What we will do? Slaver, whenever he's a slaver and he's a servant of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he should not forget this aspect. Let me give you an example and we'll come back to this issue. Sometimes you look at the house. In the aspect of the house, that house is something. You can imagine it. House. You look at the house, only at the house, independently. But sometimes, house of Muhammad, house of Hassan. Can you imagine house of Muhammad without imagine Muhammad? No. You must imagine Muhammad and house, so after that you realize the house of the Muhammad. Another example. Yes. Now you can imagine Mr. Sarfarash.
Yes.
Is it easy? But can you imagine Mr. Sarfarash as a father without having children? No. If you want to imagine fathership, you have imagine children. Above, can you imagine above without down? No. Needs two sides. Abd is like this one. Abd means you are slave of somebody. You are not independent. So, abd, when he wants to worship and put himself in the position of and condition of worshiping, he has imagined his relationship to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because of that, it has been said. If you don't imagine, you don't think yourself in the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and you forget this aspect, you neglect this aspect, you are not doing worshiping of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I don't know, could I explain about this issue well or not? Please, worshiping na'buduka, we worship you. The meaning of worship, na'buduka, is that to put yourself as a servant and slaver of your Lord. But if you want to know that you are slaver and servant of your Lord, you must imagine your Lord so you know you are servant of Him. You cannot imagine this thing and think it without mudafun ilay. As this like the hadith. Okay. For instance, now king of Persian wants to go. You are in the line. All soldiers are standing in one line. All the time they are thinking in the king or president because he wants to pass here. Otherwise they cannot stand here. When you want to put yourself in the position of worshiping of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so you should not think about anything. All the time you should think this relationship, that you are related to your master and you are slave of him. Father of Hassan, or we say owner of the book. Can you imagine owner without book? Owner of the book. Please, owner of the book, you cannot imagine owner only without book. You must imagine both of them. Here, slaver, you cannot imagine it without the master. Because of that, it has been said. If you think about something else, that you are not in that position. Okay. So, by this explanation, maybe one question has been answered. What is that question? The question is that, it has been said. We are in the position of humbleness. We should say we are humble. If you want to say you are humble, you should not use plural. But you should use singular. For instance, if you want to make yourself and proud and to say, I'm a very big man, say, we will do it. But if you want to be as humble, I do. Isn't it? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr. Inna we. Why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says? Because of respecting. In Arabic, if you want to address somebody, ordinary man, say Anta. But if is a very great person, you don't say Anta. What do you say? Antum. You. You use plural. In Persian language also, say to or shuma. Isn't it? Here, we should, because here the position is position of humbleness. We should not say na'abud. We worship you. I should say a'abud. I worship you. But why we use na'abud we? Because. If I use a'abud, I worship, because in the I, there is some sense of independently. I, ana, ananiyya. You are something. You are independent. So I wanted to omit this independently from it, and I wanted to mix it with other to say I'm nothing. So because of that, you use na'abuduka. This is one answer. The second answer to this question is that, please, now it has been announced, tomorrow there is wedding. And on the 4H, nobody can come inside. Okay. Now, this is Mr. Hassan, a very small boy. He's 3 years old. He wants to come inside alone. Nobody allow him to come inside. But he will join the group. His father, his uncle, or his brothers, his mother. With him, with them, he will come inside, isn't it? Nobody prevents him. No, he will come with them inside. Because he's among them. This is one example. Another example. You will go and you will buy a sack of rice. Okay. Among this sack of rice, there are some sand, isn't it? Sand. If you want to buy the sand itself, you will not buy it. You will not pay any money for it. But because there are some sand, 2 gram or more or less, among it, between it, that you will pay for it. You will buy 20 kilos of oranges. Maybe 2, 3, 4 spoiled. It's not good. But you will buy all. If you want to buy only the bad one, you will not buy it. Isn't it? Now, you address Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, oh my God, I, with other people, because at the beginning of the time, you will say that I, with other people, with mu'mineen, with mukhlisin, sincere, worship you. Maybe my salat, my dua is not good, but if you put it among the other, you will accept it. Because of that, it has been said, you try to offer your salat in the first time. Why? Because when you say Iyyaka na'bud, we means those whoever at this time offers his salah. Imam Zaman alayhi salam, maraje, mukhlisin, the good people, they are offering their salah in the first time. So you will be one of them, not that child. Or I will be like that spoiled orange. I will be among this one, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will accept all of them. But if I want to put it separately, he will not accept it. He said, oh, who are you? You are late. I will not buy you. But if I am among other people, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will accept it. So, we don't use about I worship you because of two reasons. One, I smell independently. I will do. This is one. Secondly, we want to put ourselves among the other people. So we use na'buduka. We worship you. After that, when we say, oh my God, I will worship you. So, there is something very dangerous. He said, I worship you. This means, I have power. I have will. I can do. So, we want to answer this question. Oh my God, don't think that I have power. I can do. No! Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asked me, can you worship me? Say, no. Iyyaka nasta'in. By your help. I don't have power to worship you. But by your help I worship you. Because of that, after Iyyaka na'bud, we say, Iyyaka nasta'in. That I'm in the position of slavery. In the servant. Servant doesn't have anything from himself. Whatever he has is from his master. So, I don't have power. I don't have will. I don't have anything to worship Allah. But exactly, I follow my saying, what by this saying? Iyyaka nasta'in. Oh my God, no, I cannot do anything. Only I worship you by your help. So, because of that, it has been said, Iyyaka na'bud and Iyyaka nasta'in. Both of them are one thing. They are not two. They are one. Iyyaka na'bud by your nasta'in, by your help. So, there's another question. How we can combine, to finish, between this Iyyaka na'bud, Iyyaka nasta'in, this sentence and this phrase, and by getting help from A'imma or from the Prophet. Inshallah, we'll explain about it in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum. Alaikum
wassalam. I have no question, but I just need to make a comment that no, you talk about the word we, like we as all of us together, we progress towards Allah. That's why it makes sense to me now, that why Allah says that we should pray now as a Jamaah together, go both us all together, yes. Each of the brothers together, just do everything together as one Ummah, as the Prophet said, as one Ummah. It makes more sense now, that's why Allah says we and not I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Salah, we use Maliki
Yawmati. No problem. I use also Maliki Yawmati. I used to it.
So, can we use
Maliki Yawmati? Yes.
Can we use Maliki Yawmati?
As I used to.
Okay.
Yes.
So, can we use
Maliki Yawmati? As I said, in Tawzi'u al-Masa'il, and as according to Islamic law, Fatawa of Maraji, Agha Sistani, Aghui, all of our Maraji say, you can say Malik Yawmuddin or Malik Yawmuddin. But usually we say Malik Yawmuddin. And I say also Malik Yawmuddin. Our ulama also say Malik Yawmuddin. There's no problem.
Malik is more authority.
Of course, Shema. Even some ulama say Malik Yom.
It is not better to say Malik Yom.
But sometimes we confuse it. If we want to... Because I was in Africa and my English, my pronunciation from that side. So I was saying particular. Somebody wanted to correct me and said, please, you should say particular. I was giving lectures, so whenever I wanted to bring this term, I was confusing which one I should say. Now in Salat, maybe we confuse to say Malik, Malik, and we forget.
Shaykh, you gave us a good example of how when we say Iyyaka na'budu, we should try to imagine Allah so that we can imagine our ubudiyya. Can you give us some advice? What is the best way to try to imagine?
Yes, please, because never I could imagine Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in my salat. So like how can I advise you? It's very difficult, exactly, for us to imagine Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But according to this explanation of tafsir, it has been said, we should realize only this thing, that we are nothing. It's very important. We are nothing. We are nothing. In this position, when we say, Iyyaka na'bud, there are a lot of terms which we could use here. Actually, it's not by us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala taught us how we should use. But only Allah taught us we should say, Iyyaka na'bud. Because na'bud means slaver. Slaver, never forget, is a owner of somebody else. Because we cannot imagine it. If we could imagine this type of relationship between us and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and we are His slave, this is enough. This is enough. For those people who want to go to Hajj, one of our ulama is my friend. He said, some years ago I went to Mecca. And a doctor from US, he joined our caravan. He was very arrogant. Whenever we asked him, please come and you should remove all your dress and you should wear ihram, he was refusing. I told him, please, you should shave your hair. He said, no, I will not do it. I told him, please, you should sleep with other people to this room. He said, no, I can't. I am a billionaire. I have sheep. I have airplane. I have so and so and so. How I can come and sleep with these people? And this was the situation. Whenever I would try to speak with him, we couldn't. Because he was in from some other world. Never we could speak with him. But once in the Arafat, day of Arafat, and in Arafat, that place, in the 9th of Muharram, well, Zilhajjah, sorry. We were reciting dua of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Arafah. In the evening time, because we finished and the weather was very hot, I saw him, he's coming from far, and he cried. He was crying, and his face was burned by sun. And he came to us and he said, Araftullah. Because Arafah means knowing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he was saying, I knew Allah here. I said, and he came to me and started to cry. I said, oh doctor, what happened to you? He said, I realized that I'm nothing. How? No, you are a doctor. You are billionaire. How you are nothing? So everybody help you, everybody support you. We are under your service, we are at your service. Said, no, I'm nothing. I knew my God. I said to him, how? He said, you started to recite dua. I said, what is dua? I don't mind like dua. I cannot spend my time or waste my time here. I went to visit the people and the places. But unfortunately, I lost my way. I didn't know where should I go. I wanted to ask a man who was selling slipper. Ask him, please, I want to go somewhere, do you know the place, the place? He told me, go away, go away, I want to sell my slipper. I told him, what do you say? I'm a billionaire. He said, please, go away, go away, I want to sell my slipper, the one or two riyals, absolutely, less than, I don't know, maybe 10 pence. He said, go away, go away. I went back. I saw another man, he was gathering the rubbish. I went to him, I told him, please, I will pay you whatever you want, $1,000. But he couldn't understand me. And can you direct me and tell me where should I go? He said, please, go away, go away. I want to take this one up, otherwise they will not pay to me anything. I went to another tent. I asked them. They refused. They said, please, go, go, go. They thought maybe I'm beggar. Somebody else wanted to give me something, please take from me. Said, no, I'm not there. And I lost my time, I don't know where should I go. On the sun. And unfortunately at that time, I have nothing to buy umbrella. I have nothing to buy umbrella. Although I'm a billionaire, but at that time I haven't even $1. So I went to a man, I told, please, how much this umbrella? I didn't understand Arabic, but I show him how much it was, saying, please, five real, which is roughly $2. I said to him, okay, I will give you $100, but give it to me and come with me, I will pay you in my tent. He said, please go away, go away. I cannot give you free of charge. Because he thought I'm a beggar. Finally, I couldn't understand anybody to help me. I couldn't recognize anybody. I couldn't find my way. I couldn't find my tent. So I went from here, right and left, right and left. Finally, I saw my flag and I came here. And my face was burned by sun. I understood that I'm not. Nobody was taking care of me. I told them I'm a billionaire. They said, go away. Go away. Araftullah. I need my God. If we realize that we are servants, we are slaves of Allah Ta'ala, and we are in this position, this is enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.